Shalom Church, it's really good for us to be back here in this auditorium, and I'm so happy to be here because I'm able to preach to a live audience instead of speaking to the camera all the time. And for those of you watching online on our digital platform, yeah, I hope that you can also make time to come in the coming weeks as well to join us here so that we can worship God together in this place. Yeah. Now, this week, I'm going to be continuing on the series, the Touchdown series, and this is the third installment of it, which the series started 2 weeks ago. And today, I'll be talking about making an impact with our resources. But before I do that, I just want to commend all of you for all the generosity and all the good works that you have been doing through Impact. And the video that you saw just now, these are just three stories among the many others of the amazing work that many of you have been doing in the past 1.5 years. And we really, really thank God for all these things and really recognize that, you know, God is going to be very pleased with what you have been doing all this while. And I like how one of the person in the video mentioned that, you know, serving is really a pure joy. And we glorify God when we serve our neighbors. In fact, serving our neighbors is going to be the theme of my message today. And we're going to look at how we can do that effectively through the story of the Good Samaritan. So before we do that, let's read this passage of Scripture together, shall we? And for those of you in the auditorium, just want to invite you to stand to your feet as we read this passage together. And for those of you joining us online, you can also do the same. You can stand where you are as well. Okay, reading from verse 25 of Luke chapter 10 until verse 37, starting from verse 25, let's start on the count of 3, 1, 2, and 3. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" he answered. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side of the road. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side of the road. But the Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Heavenly Father, speak to us today, God, from your word and challenge our hearts to respond to it. And even though, God, this parable may not be a new story to many of us, I pray that you will grant us a new understanding and the fresh insights and revelations from it. And help us, oh God, to be not just hearers, but also doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now, church, this parable is not a standalone story, as all of us know, because it was premised upon a question that was asked by a law expert. And this was in the midst of a discourse that he was having with Jesus in regard to kingdom admission. And in Luke chapter 10, in verse 29 that we read just now, because he wanted to justify himself. And so he asked Jesus, "So who is my neighbor?" And so Jesus, in response, told the story of the Good Samaritan. And in the process of doing that, Jesus actually negated the question that was asked. Because the law expert was actually expecting Jesus to define for him who his neighbor was. But Jesus corrected that perspective by making him realize that the right question to ask was not who is my neighbor, but rather who can I be a neighbor to? You see, church, being a neighbor to somebody is expected of us as disciples of the kingdom. And that, church, is my big idea for this message. Be a neighbor to somebody today. Can those of you here in the auditorium also say that? Be a neighbor to somebody today. You see, being a neighbor to somebody in this context requires us to do three things. We need to be observant, we need to be compassionate, and we also need to be responsive. And if I were to retitle this message or this parable, I would actually call it the parable of the eyes, the heart, and the hands. And I'll explain to you why, starting with the eyes. And that's my first point. You see, we need eyes that see people. You see, as followers of Jesus Christ, we must see like how Jesus sees. Jesus sees people. He doesn't just look at them. He notices them. And so, for example, in Luke chapter 7, when Jesus was in the house of Simon the Pharisee, a woman came by and washed his feet with her tears and an alabaster jar of perfume. Now, all the people in that house saw her as a woman with a sinful past, but not Jesus. Because Jesus saw her as a sinner seeking forgiveness. And so we are told in Luke chapter 7, verse 44, here, then Jesus, he turned to the woman and he said to Simon the Pharisee, "Do you see this woman?" Now what Jesus was actually saying to Simon was this, "Simon, do you see her love, her devotion, and her repentance? Because that is what I see." You see, what Jesus is teaching us here is that we need to see beyond the form and the obvious. Because only then can his love find an avenue through us. And that was what the Good Samaritan did. You see, both the priest and the Levites, they saw the wounded man by the roadside, but they decided to walk on the other side of the road, avoiding him. But in verse 33 of Luke 10, it tells us that, "But Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him." Why? Because this Samaritan man saw differently. The Samaritan saw a need, while the other two saw a risk. And because he saw a need, he met that need. He saw a hurt, and he healed it. You see, here, he saw there lying on the ground a man needing help. A man made in the image of God. A man that he saw as equal to himself in God's eyes, both in worth and also in dignity. And so the question that we need to ask ourselves as well today is, what do we see with our eyes? You see, we live in a fast-paced world, and it's so easy for us to miss the many needs of the people around us. For example, when you walk into a restaurant, do you see the workers there as part of a system serving us? Or when we walk into a shopping mall, do we see the people in that place as part of a setting that blends in and fits into the background? Or do we see people, or would we even see people, as somebody that God wants us to be a neighbor to? Now, Impact Now was meant to awaken our senses and to open our eyes to those who need our help and our encouragement. And the process begins with us seeing and noticing. Because true kingdom vision, it will always be people-centered. And we need to see people as being at the center of God's kingdom. And I thank God for Brother Liu Ah-on that we saw in the video just now. Because he saw the needs of these 70-plus Pakistani refugees who were without jobs, without an income, and without any hope. And he responded to meet their needs. What we see and how we see, friends, reflects the posture of our hearts. And that brings me to my second point, the heart. Because we need to have a heart that exudes with compassion. You see, the dialogue that Jesus had with the law expert, he was questioned about how one could inherit eternal life. And to this, Jesus said to him, "Well, Mr. Expert of the Law, since you are such an expert, why don't you tell me what does the law says?" And to this, the law expert replied him in verse 27, "Well, we are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, with all your mind. And that is the first and the greatest commandment. And you are to love your neighbor as yourself, the second greatest commandment." You see, the law expert and all Jewish people, they were actually very familiar with all these love commands because these were taken from the Torah. And in the Old Testament, the first and the greatest commandment is found here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 5, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." And the second, from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." You see, when it says here, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge," it means that we need to love everyone and anyone, regardless of who they are, even though some of these could be our enemies or even people that we do not like. And I'm sure that, you know, all of us have got people that we do not like, right? And it's going to be a great challenge for us to be able to love some of these people because God has made all of us differently. In fact, you agree with me, you can say amen, right? You can say that as well online as well, if you agree with what I say. Now, in all honesty and humanly speaking, I find this a great challenge as well myself. So as much as I'm preaching this to you, I am also preaching this to myself. So the question is, how do we love our enemies or the people that we do not like? With the grace, the love, and the power of God, friends. Because only the love and the power of God can change a human heart and transform us to be His love, His compassionate love agents. And we know that this is true and possible because that's what the Word of God says to us. Because you see, the love commands are actually the condensed version of the Ten Commandments. Because the first four commandments, they're actually about loving God. And the subsequent six commandments, they are actually about loving others, loving our neighbors, loving those people around us. And right before these Ten Commandments were actually given to the Israelites, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, God reminded them of this very important truth in verse 6, where he says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." And today God is also saying the same to us. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the bondage of sin and death, who has brought you out of darkness into my wonderful light. And I have made that possible because I have sent my one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you on the cross for the forgiveness of your sin. And I did that because I love you. You see, friends, it's on the basis of the redemptive grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the amazing love of God that He has poured into our hearts that He's now instructing us to love Him wholeheartedly, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind, and to love our neighbors compassionately. And the Samaritan here exhibited this compassion when he saw the wounded man that day. Because in verse 33, reading from the Amplified Version, it says here, "But a Samaritan foreigner who was traveling came upon him, the man, the wounded man, and when he saw him, he was deeply moved with compassion for him." You see, the Samaritan, he noticed the pain of this wounded man. And with a heart exuding with compassion, he took the risk and he lovingly extended a helping hand. And that brings me to my third point. We need hands that touch lives. You see, touching life is what we are called to do, friends, as followers of Jesus Christ. And we can do that through our giving. Rachel, in the video just now, she shared about serving with our resources. And that's what it's all about. And Jesus has given us the blueprint on how to do that through the examples of the Samaritans. And the first thing that we noticed about him is that he gave responsively. You see, for this Samaritan, that eventful day started as just any other ordinary day. Because in verse 33, he tells us that, "But the Samaritan, as he traveled," he was just traveling along, "came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him." So this Samaritan, he was traveling along the Jerusalem-Jericho route, not expecting anything that day. Because it was an ordinary day for him. He was not on a mission trip. He was not out seeking to do some Impact Now projects. He was not like one of the 72 that Jesus sent out in Luke chapter 10, the earlier part of Luke chapter 10, with a specific mission to proclaim about the kingdom of God. No, he was just an ordinary passerby who happens to be there. But when he saw the wounded man, he allowed that to interrupt and to disrupt his routine and his schedule. Because he responded to a need. And that was a rhythm of life that he has adopted. And this is what we are aiming to do with Impact Now. Because Impact Now by itself is not the end game. Inculcating in us a responsive heart and a giving spirit is. Impact Now is the means towards that end. Our goal is to elevate the church, the UMC, from merely being intentional in seeking out giving opportunities to being natural in responding to the arising needs around us. And we must do that to whoever, wherever, and whenever. You see, the law expert was expecting Jesus to define his neighbor. But Jesus redefined his practices instead by pointing out to him how he should behave as a neighbor. Franz Lihard, a French theologian, said this: "One cannot define one's neighbor. One can only be a neighbor." So be a responsive neighbor to somebody today, friends. Let that be our natural lifestyle and a rhythm of life that we adopt. And the second thing that we noticed about the Samaritan was this: he gave generously. Because what we saw in this story. He was extravagant in his giving, and he gave radically and selflessly. And that too to a total stranger, somebody that he met for the first time that day, somebody he doesn't know. And to appreciate the extent of his generosity, let's read verse 34 and 35 again. You see, he went to him, the man, and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, two very common but valued commodities in those days. Then he put the man on his own donkey and brought him to an inn, meaning that the man was on his donkey and he himself had to walk all the way to the inn. And when he reached there, he took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii, equivalent to 2 days' wages, and gave them to the innkeeper. And he said to him, look after him, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have. So he was willing, he was prepared to give even more, to tambah lagi, to even, you know, give beyond what he was, what he had on that day. And as you can see here, the Samaritan was extremely generous with his resources. And likewise, as Christians, we are also called to live generous lives. Because that's what the Bible teaches us. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, we are told that we are to give willingly and cheerfully from a spirit of generosity. And the Samaritan man, he gave what he had that day. You know, an economist will tell us about the concept of scarcity and choices with regard to our resources. But all these things are not relevant in God's economy. In fact, in response to our generosity, God promises us that, promises us in 2 Corinthians 9:8 that he will bless us abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that we need, we will abound in every good work. That is the promise of God for us, friends. And why is that so? Because our God himself is the generous and bountiful God. He is our great provider who will meet all our needs according to the glorious riches of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we give, we honor him. He is our act of worship and expression of our love and devotion to him. It's our way of saying to God, yes, Lord, we love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind. Not only that, friends, our generous giving would also touch lives and point people to Jesus. You know, in response to Impact Now, our Nepalese congregation decided to pool some money together and to set up a mini tuition center in Nepal, in this place called Salahi, for a group of primary students. And when I heard about this story, I was so inspired by them. Because number one, these Nepali brothers, they saw the need of the children in Nepal, and they responded in love. And secondly, they gave generously, not out of the excesses, but out of the limited resources that they have. Somewhat like the poor widow who gave her 2 small copper coins in Luke chapter 21. And as a result of their generosity, 33 children were blessed. And more significantly, because these children all came from non-Christian backgrounds, they have the opportunity to experience the love of Christ through their service. And even recently, I was just told that one of the family came to know the Lord and accepted Jesus into their lives as the Lord and Savior, and they're now part of the local church there. What an encouraging development that was, isn't it? Now is actually a good time to say, hey, praise the Lord. So you can stay there online as well. Yeah. So give responsively and generously, friends. Because God may just surprise us with an amazing outcome. Lastly, the Samaritan man, he gave relationally. You see, his giving was not just a touch-and-go kind of giving. Because we notice in this passage that he had a genuine concern for people. Because after placing the man in the inn, this was what happened, as we are told in verse 35. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have. You see, this Samaritan man, he has said his goodbyes to both the innkeeper and also the wounded man. But he promised them that he will return. Why? Of course, firstly, he needs to come back to pay the innkeeper for any extra expenses that he is supposed to incur, right? Now, the second reason is also because he has a genuine concern for this man, and he wanted to come back to see how he is doing as a form of following up on him. You see, following up on people that we serve and connecting with them is an integral aspect of Christian ministry. Because true Christianity is not an institutionalized religion, but a relational faith. 3 months ago, as all of us know, we started this free food distribution program outside our Dream Center. Our plan was to give out free meals to those who are in need without any strings attached. But in the midst of doing that, we were given opportunities to connect with the people who came. And some of these, we were even able to pray for them. And out of all that, one person actually came to know the Lord through their connection. And today, our team of First Touch Ministry has a list of 200 over names of people that we could follow up with. And these are not just names, because behind every name is a person. It's a precious life. It's a precious soul that God wants us to touch with the love of Christ. And in doing that, we are now able to move from meeting material needs to meeting spiritual needs. And that is why we are here, church. And that's why the church exists. Because we are here to impact lives for Jesus Christ and to draw people to the knowledge of His saving grace. And that is our call and our purpose as the church and as God's people. Let me now bring all this to a close. You see, the central lesson of this story, friends, is that believers are called to show neighborly compassion and mercy to anyone and everyone who's in need. And this is the biblical understanding, because compassion and mercy are requirements for disciples of the kingdom. And these must be demonstrated. And that was Jesus' intent when he told this parable to the law expert. To make a man of knowledge into a man of practice. You see, this account started with the question, "Who is my neighbor?" But it ended with a challenge in verse 37. "Go and do likewise." So go and do likewise, church. Be a neighbor to somebody today. And this is my big idea. And this is also the challenge that God is giving us today. And we need to respond. You see, at the start of the message, I say that I would retitle this passage or this parable as the parable of the eyes, the heart, and the hands. And these are the body parts of ours that we need to examine even right now, today, and surrender them to God. And to ask ourselves these three questions. What do we see with our eyes? What is the posture of our heart? And what do we have in our hands? Let's come to the Lord in prayer right now. But before that, I just want to address those of you who are not Christians. You are not a believer or follower of Jesus Christ. You do not have a personal relationship with Jesus. And you heard me share just now about this God who sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross for the forgiveness of our sin, your sin and my sin, because He loves us. And if what I say just makes sense to you, and today you want to say, "Yes, Pastor, I want to accept, I want to receive this love, I want to receive this forgiveness," it will be my privilege and joy to be able to help you to do that by leading you in a prayer to invite Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior. Now, I did that 20 odd years ago, and my life has never been the same ever since. I've been changed, I've been transformed into a more purposeful life, with a more purposeful life, and a life that today I can stand to praise God and glorify Him. And if that's your desire today, I want you to open your hearts as well and respond to this love of Jesus. And if that's your desire and that's what you intend to do, I want you to follow me in this prayer. And this is what I would like you to do. I want you to close your eyes and sincerely in your heart, say this prayer with me. You can say it aloud, you can say it quietly in your heart. If you are ready, I'll lead you in this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. And I believe that you are the Son of God. And you have died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sin. And right now, I want to confess my sin to you. I want to ask for your forgiveness. And I want to invite you to come into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. I thank you and I pray all this in your name. Now, friends, if you have said that prayer just now, congratulations, because you are now a child of God and your name has now been written in the book of life. And on the screen or on the digital platform, you will see a button that says, raise hand, sorry, yeah? Now, I want you to click onto the raise hand button to indicate to us that you have made the decision today and you have said that prayer. And as you do that, there's a link that will direct you to a form as well. I want you to also fill in your details there so that we can pass you some material for you to follow up on. And for the rest of you who are on the digital platform, I just sense that there are some of you here today that you are in need of prayer. It could be a prayer, it could be a need that's related to your health, or related to your work, or related to your finances. And even some of you may have a relationship issue that you need to deal with. Whatever is your need, click on the button that says Request Prayer on the online platform and let one of the pastors or leaders of ours to just come alongside you and to pray with you. Let me now close in prayer and also to give the benediction as we end today's service. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you even right now, recognizing that you have been such a wonderful, amazing God to us. For you are God who has called us out of darkness into your wonderful light. And you have made us to be a people of light. And so, Father, I pray, God, that, Lord, may we manifest your love and your light to those around us, even as you call us to be a neighbor to somebody today. Help us to do that. And for some of us, oh God, this may be a big step. I pray, God, that, Lord, you give us courage, you give us boldness, you give us the enablement, oh God, Father, and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to enable us, oh God, to live up our faith in the way that would glorify you and to testify of your goodness upon our lives. And I pray, God, that, Lord, may you continue to open our eyes to the needs of the people around us and fill our hearts once again, oh God, today, with the love and the compassion of yours, so that our heart will exude that compassion we, O God, Father, we become an instrument of grace and love to those around us as we extend a hand to touch the lives of these people who are precious to you with the love of Christ. So once again, Father, I just want to thank you for this time that, God, we can hear you speak to us. But let us, O God, not just be hearer, but help us, O God, to apply what we have learned in our lives today. And we give you thanks, and we praise you, God, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. And church, let's lift up our hands right now as to receive the benediction. And now may the amazing love of the Father, the wonderful grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the friendship and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you, friend. I hope to see you again next week. Same time, same place. See you and have a blessed week ahead.